What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and I am back with my cast of cohorts who were just tickled to death at their own antics.
It was Eric did the dab. It was the dab that got me. I'm sorry.
Can take you guys anywhere.
Oh, it started out as a very benign dance to the theme song, and it just like I was just like waiting for the death drop, and then Eric did the dab, and I was like, "Well, that's it. I can't top that."
Well, we are here, as you have heard. BJ is here.
What's up?
Oh, now you've regained composure. You're like. And I'm back. And Eric is here as well.
Hello.
The uh-oh got it. Forgot me. We are back. And we're here to talk about pop culture. It's another month. We're in February of 2024. This is our first, we'll call it our roundup, our first full cast roundup recording. Brian is... traveling at the moment for work, so he will not be joining us on this occasion, but we are back. It's a new year full of new things to talk about. We have entertained your ears with talk of Doctor Who in January, gay music at the beginning of this month, and now we're back to talk about the things that are just making us giddy with excitement. Or no, I think all of these topics are actually good topics for us. There's been no hate watching as of late. BJ hasn't forced me to watch anything that I will just regret instantly yet.
Oh no, I'm absolutely. Yet. I'm sitting down and I'm gonna make a list of shows, and any that we have watched, I'm gonna say we need to do a hate watch microsode of a show. Like Glee is definitely on the list because that one started out solid and then it just, I hate watch that. Gotham, I hate watch the crap out of that. I know there's at least one or two reality series that you hate watched, so I feel like we need the hate watch corner.
No.
You don't want people to know what you hate watch.
Oh God, no. They know. How many times did I talk about like Gotham? We talked about Gotham like every single episode when we were all together.
It gets worse and worse.
For real though, and I literally just kept on talking about how much I hate watched it through the finale. But we'll see. Maybe there'll be something fun out there. I know we were talking about what's the Dilf one or the Dilf Manor?
Oh, Dilf Manor that I didn't think was a real show until like I actually Googled it and was like, oh my God, this is a real television show. This is, I know there's one with porn stars too in New York. I just can't, that one pops up on my TikTok feed every now and then. And I'm like, what is Boomer Banks doing? Like, what is this? Why is there a confession thing with Boomer Banks?
Getting paid is what he's doing. Wait, I forget which one likes me a lot. I think it's Bo. I mean, it's one of the Banks boys, not Brant's boys. That's a whole different thing. That's a different thing. I've not met any of Brant's boys. Not saying I wouldn't want to meet any of Brant's boys, but I have not met them. No, I think it was Bo who used to work at Parliament a lot. Like Anthony loved him and he would bring him down all the time. And literally, like, I saw him at DryCon a couple of times. I've seen him at different events. And that boy will just run up to me and give me the biggest hug. Sweetest person in the world. But yeah. No, we'll have to figure out some watching for some of the crazier things out there. I'll give in for those. I won't go back and like rewatch Glee. The only thing I'll rewatch for Glee are the musical performances and the ones that I like, because there are a few that are really good Glee performances. But I will not rewatch the show.
There's most actually a Glee there's a Glee reference in my topic, so this actually fits with my topic.
Oh, good, good, good. And yeah, there was a Glee retrospective podcast, but I think they stopped, right? It was with Artie and Tina.
Yes, the actors that played Artie and Tina, they did it. And they I think they documented their entire time on the show and have even brought people on from the show.
Yeah, but I think they got to a certain point. It might have been around the time that Corey Monteith was no longer alive.
It was Rivera.
When Naya passed,
I think it was when she passed. They kind of wrapped the show because they didn't start recording. They didn't start doing the show, I think, till after they wrapped the show completely.
Oh yeah, no. This was like a pandemic thing. Like this started like I want to say 2020. I just meant when Finn died on the show. Like around that time, I think it was like before that happened because they didn't want to talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And which might have also coincided around the time that Naya passed. Because, I mean, between Corey Monteith, Naya Rivera, and then I forget the guy who played Pucks, what his name was, but.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Naya's death was the only one that was like supremely tragic. Because that was of no fault of her own and was potentially saving her child in the process. So that one hit me hard. Naya Rivera was so incredibly talented, and it's such a shame that she passed away when she did. Anywho, we're just talking about that right now. That's not, this is not a Glee retrospective conversation. I said we weren't doing that.
Not yet, anyway.
not at this juncture. Maybe at the 25 minute mark we'll figure that out. All right, well, let's dive into a topic. Let's do this. We are here to chat about pop culture for the month, so I'm gonna throw it over to BJ for our first topic. What you got for us that's gonna contain a Glee reference?
So, funny enough, I have talked about this show technically before. I believe it was when we were doing our web series, Microsode. And
you mentioned it a couple times, if I'm not mistaken.
I've posted the pilot at least twice on our socials. Has Been Hotel, which finally saw, it was picked up by, I think, I always get this wrong, it was picked up by A23. Not 24. I always say 24. And Bento Box, a animation distribution company, in conjunction with Spindle Horse Studio. And it is created by Vivian... I'm going to mess up. Finally, I'm the one. See, the tech curse passed to you, and the mispronunciation has passed to me. So Vivian Medrano. I got it right. Vivian Medrano. And it's in an attempt to find a nonviolent alternative for reducing hell's overpopulation, the daughter of Lucifer opens a rehabilitation hotel that offers a group of misfit demons a chance at redemption. And it is like, I loved the pilot. The pilot was super entertaining, very cute. I'm a sucker for a redemption story. It kind of feels, it gives me Good Place vibes. Except it is definitely a hard R, as far as adult content goes. It is a very hard R.
Listen, we don't use the hard R, okay? That's what gets you in trouble. No, no.
In Black History Month?
I was going to say that, but I was like, nope. I know it's coming.
But no, it was picked up by Amazon Prime because I think there were rumors that it was either going to go the HBO, it was going to go the Max or Amazon Prime, and it ended up being on Amazon Prime. And the original pilot had 53 million views as of like, I want to say, because the pilot came out 4 years ago. So this started, I want to say just last month. Yeah, it started January. So yeah, the thing is, the pilot, they definitely switched up voice cast. So Charlie this time around is voiced by Erica Henningsen, who was in The Mean Girls. They were the first Katie Harrington in The Mean Girls Broadway musical. And we've got Keith. Where did he go? Is it Keith David? Yes, Keith David, who most of y'all would know from Princess and the Frog. He was in Armageddon. Hell, he was in The Thing. He's been in everything. So Keith David. And then you've got Alex Brightman, who actually is in a couple of Vivian's other... she has another project called Hell of a Boss, which takes place in the same universe. And Alex Brightman plays a character there. He plays Serpentius in this one, one of the residents of the hotel. And he also plays the Angel of Adam, the first man, in this. So Alex Brightman has been hitting it hard with Vivian Moreno. And then we've got... here we go.
I don't know about their personal life like that, BJ. Damn. Of all the business out there.
Oh yeah, no, I was, that's the thing is, as soon as they said they were changing up the voices, I was getting a little bit antsy because I was like, I really liked the voices of the pilot, especially when they said they were revoicing the character that Keith David plays. But I love Keith David. He's in everything. I absolutely love him. But then there's Stephanie Beatriz. She was in Encanto as Mirabelle, and she was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine as Rosa. She's in this. She plays opposite. She plays Vaggy, as in vagina, opposite the main love interest of Charlie Morningstar. There's so many vagina jokes that happen. Not as many as I expected. Which actually was very nice. It's low-hanging fruit, and they only picked it twice. So, and then what was a super awesome surprise to me is Jeremy Jordan, who played, he was in Supergirl as, like, the weird, like, you know, he's the guy that made all the suits and all, he's the techie guy. He plays Lucifer Morningstar, and he's really good. I didn't realize he had that much of a musical background. But apparently he's got a huge musical background. He does a ton of voice work for a bunch of random animated series. It seems like he's a little bit more of a voice actor than he is an actor. So that was kind of nice. I always like it when animated properties kind of pull more from voice acting experience than just like whatever big names they can pull. So yeah, it's honestly, it's even though it's got our rating, it's not as raunchy as like something like Family Guy or anything like that. It's got its moments, but in all honesty, the show is just, the animation quality alone is absolutely breathtaking. And I need Brian to watch it because they do a really interesting thing with some of the character voices. There's a character called Vox who is like, he's like a demon of television. And whenever he gets mad or twitchy or he yells at somebody, his voice does this weird thing where, like, you know, when you turn up the TV too loud and it sounds almost muffled, it's just really loud. His voice does that. And then you've got Alistair, who's a radio demon, and he has a radio filter on his voice at all times. And when he does things like laugh, there's a laugh track in the background. Or if he's dancing, there's like a little like 1920s like jig going on. So the sound engineering is absolutely weird. I honestly love it. Like you hear him for a split second without the filter, and it's jarring because you get so used to hearing him with a radio filter on his voice. But it's honestly the show. It's really queer positive. They were renewed immediately. They were given a season one and a season two, like right off the gate. And I believe the pilot views has since the show came out have surpassed like 100 million. So it had its own built-in fan base going in, and Amazon cashed in on that. I personally didn't realize how big the fan base was until the show aired, and like, it's insane. Have any of you, have either of you seen it or heard any of the music?
Not I.
Well, I'm boycotting Amazon Prime TV shows because fuck that $2.99 for no commercials.
Oh, and that hit right when the show dropped.
I know, because your show made them charge $2.99 for fucking commercials, for no commercials. Damn it, BJ.
I didn't do it.
Honestly, like, I mean, I don't normally watch a lot of Amazon Prime shows. I'm glad that Upload Season 3 was out and I watched it before this happened, because I'm kind of mad about it now. Because it's a shitty interface, honestly. Like, it's not a great platform.
It's really bad.
It's weird. Honestly, Paramount Plus is the worst one. I can't. It's always re-optimizing. Every time I watch it, every time I've watched Star Trek the past month, I'm telling you, every time I watch Star Trek the past month, it'll start the commercials, and then it'll jump back to the beginning of the previous section. So I have to fast forward.
You're on the
back
poor setting. Because you're on the poor setting with commercials.
No, Zach is on the
poor setting. Benjamin Joseph.
Zach is on the poor setting because I'm using his account. So.
People have said that. I have no problem with Paramount Plus whatsoever. I actually, that's probably the platform I use the most out of the streamers, like these direct streaming services. Because it has so many things that I like to watch, like, you know, Drag Race stuff and challenge stuff and all that. But Amazon Prime, it just feels so fucking clunky, and it's never responsive. Like, it's very hard. It's hard to navigate for me. But I haven't gotten around to watching it. I knew you were going to be through the roof when that got announced. And
oh yeah, because I watched the pilot. I watched the pilot. Because she did a bunch of music videos, so I've been following her career. She posted a lot of her student projects on YouTube. So she was one of the first YouTubers that I ever followed. So when she released the pilot, which I believe was for one of her final, it was just a passion project of hers. I was like, oh, this is cool. Man, this sucks. Like, I was really hoping, like, something like this should get picked up. And then, like, four or five years later, here we are. And season one is, like, in the books, done. And breaking all kinds of records. Because I think it's the second adult animated series on Amazon Prime next to Invincible. And it blew Invincible's numbers out of the water. So,
it's just... Damn.
Yeah, it really is adult. What's really cool is honestly the songs are freaking amazing, because there's a handful of like traditional Broadway type songs. Loser Baby is a really good one, and then Happy Day in Hell is probably one of the funniest ones I've ever listened to. And then you've got ones that have a more pop sound, Poison, which they released before the show dropped. They released kind of like a lyric music video. That one was really, really good. And I'm going to post a lot of these up on the Facebook for everybody to watch and listen to. But the songs are really, really good. And in fact, two of them are on the Billboard charts right now. I believe Poison is like number 4 or 5. So the songs are really, really good. Most of the voice cast is either Broadway or Broadway adjacent, which is crazy to me. And speaking of Broadway and nonsense and everything, so Glee, the actor who played Blaine, Darren Criss, he plays St. Peter. And when I tell you,
not you using his Glee credit to like, as if you would have said Darren Criss, and you'd be like, who? He'd be like Blaine from Glee, and we'd be like, oh, that guy. You use that as his credit to be like, yes, this guy.
I mean, he played the music meister on Supergirl. I think that's an even deeper cut.
He's been found dead in his home because that's the reference that was used for him on the show.
But he plays Saint Peter, and it's his song is really funny because I feel like it's making fun of him, because a lot of the times that actor sings, there's a lot of like oh, like noises he does when he sings, and half of what Saint Peter does in that song is the weird musical moans, "Welcome to Heaven." So it's really good, honestly. The whole show, it's honestly, if you really liked The Good Place, I think this show would kind of fit right in because it does deal with a lot of those the idea of redemption, and it's the idea of like, Do you deserve to be redeemed after you're dead? Because technically you're dead, so you should be done. What makes a good person good? When are you overstepping your boundaries? There's actually a lot of lessons in there about boundaries, which is kind of nice. It's crass, but it's not crass for crass' sake. I think honestly everybody should give this show a watch if they haven't already. And like I said, it's super popular right now. Everybody's watching it. All my favorite reactors have all like simultaneously started watching it at the same time. So before bed, I usually just sit on YouTube for like 40 minutes and watch everybody reacting to it. It's really, really good. The team should be very proud. If you liked Hazbin Hotel, you should also give Hell of a Boss a try, which takes place in the same universe. But that one is a free show on YouTube. So maybe less commercials, depending on which YouTube service that you are subscribed to.
Mm-hmm. Depending on which level of poor you are. I love that BJ realized, like, if he just keeps like just talking, I can't make stupid remarks, because they were I was like, I wanted to jump in there and say stupid shit. It just kept going. He figured out how to stop me.
You have your own segment to say stupid shit in.
I know, but I was gonna, I mean, Darren Criss is sending his people out to attack you with copies of his Christmas CD, just like throwing stars.
His really weird rendition of "Baby, It's Cold Outside."
Eric, didn't you? Wasn't that like one of your topics? One of your picks for music? Didn't you do the Darren Criss Christmas album?
No,
that was somebody else.
I was like, I just swear we talked about it and how homosexual the cover of that album is. For being a heterosexual man, allegedly. I don't know. Anywho, well, Hazbin Hotel, streaming on Amazon Prime. If you're like me and you're one of the poors, you're going to have to sit through some commercials. If you're... I say that as if I don't pay $140 a year for Amazon Prime already, but
right?
Yeah, I'm not paying an extra $3 a month for no commercials on Amazon Prime. But go watch it. Check it out. If you watch the pilot episode on YouTube because of BJ's incessant talking about it, you would think the man would have got a fucking sponsorship from the show with how much he's mentioned it. But, you know, we could have been making money off of this, BJ. Now they got Amazon money. Let's get that working. But if you watch the pilot because of BJ's posting and then you check, you watch the show on Amazon, let us know. We want to hear about it and tell us your thoughts about Hazbin Hotel. All right. I'm going to go next because my topic's a little bit probably shorter. So I'll dive into The Traitors season dos, or part deux, if you're of a certain age and that means something to you, because I said that at the bar last night and my two friends had no fucking clue what I was talking about, and then I turned to dust and floated away for the night. I realized I hang out with way too many like 25 to 30 year old men now, and I'm like, this is horrible. I feel ancient.
They I was started- like you once. I was beautiful, and I looked just like you.
I don't think that was ever true, but yeah. But I think I talked about the traders. It might have been a one-up, because I don't think I talked much about it as far as like a full topic when season one premiered, and that was partially because I was excited that Ciri was on the show. So season two is back. It's on Peacock. It is the American, the U.S. version of a show that has multiple iterations. Australia has a version of The Traitors. The UK has a version of The Traitors. We have our version of The Traitors now, and it came back for season two. I think I might have mentioned it in a one-up when the cast was announced, because as opposed to season one had half reality stars and half regular people like us that went to a castle in Scotland and had to play challenges. And then essentially, I've never played it, but I've seen it compared to Mafia by some people online, the game Mafia, or I guess maybe even Werewolf. Like,
Mafia, Secret Hitler, lots of those types of games.
Yeah, I think there's one called Clock Tower that's a lot like Werewolf. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, so quick kind of rundown on it. Now, season two, it's all 20 reality competition people. So it's more of a celebrity, like full celebrity version. I guess they realized that regular people don't really stack up well against reality stars, most of whom have played games where deception is part of winning the game. So they figured, fuck it, we can double the amount of fandom that we get by bringing in 20 reality stars versus 10 and then 10 regular people. But 20 people, in this case, all reality stars, go to Scotland, and Alan Cumming is the host for the festivities. He then brings them to the round table and has them blindfold themselves, walks around, and chooses a number of traitors. Duck, Duck, Goose style, very much so. I don't know if maybe in future seasons they may increase or decrease the number that it starts with, but the last two seasons it's been three traitors to start. They are then tasked with they're chosen by being tapped on the shoulder as Alan walks by, and then they have to blend in and get everybody to not think that they're a traitor. So the one thing that I never understood was they kind of were playing it sort of like The Mole, which was an early 2000s television show that came back on Netflix during like 2021, 22, where somebody is infiltrating and trying to sabotage the missions to not make the pot get larger. But the problem with that is The Mole, or in this case, the traitors, if they make it to the end, they win the money that's in the pot. So why wouldn't you want more money in the pot? Like, I don't understand this. That's neither here nor there at this moment in time. But at the crux of it, everybody gathers around the round table. They hash out who they think should be banished. They banish one person, and then the traitors convene and murder someone. So every episode essentially ends with two people being eliminated. And then there's twists and turns that abound. We are still probably about halfway through this season, so I'm not going to dive too much into any spoilery stuff. But one of the things that really tickled me with the casting was there were two people that I really like that were part of it. And a couple that I was like, hey, these are pretty cool casting choices. And then some that I was just like, I don't like her. Is the Serena Chacha of the season for me. But we have the casting of Peppermint from RuPaul's Drag Race and Sandra Diaz-Twine from Survivor. Those are my two favorites that got brought onto the cast. You also have people like...
Parvati?
I hate her. She's my Serena Chacha of the season. I hate is a strong word. I do not like Parvati. I do not like Parvati.
Is it you didn't like her on Survivor, or you don't like her on Traitors? Or yes?
Yes. The answer is yes. I didn't mind her on her second run on Survivor. Mm-hmm. Because as we all know, I watched 40 seasons of Survivor in 45 days during a very deep and dark time during the height of the pandemic. She was Cook Islands? Was that the infamous season of separating by ethnic backgrounds? Way to start your career being on the one where they're like, tribe of white people, tribe of Spanish people, tribe of Asian people, tribe of black people. The show that almost got Survivor canceled because their sponsors went to poll immediately following that season.
Because people were complaining that they didn't have enough diversification, so they decided, we'll do segregation. Race wars!
Race?
You're a little blob? You're a little blob person. A black person?
A little black race.
Race? Oh, peppermint. Oh my god. It's fashion. It's fashion. It's fashion. But is it fashion? It's
fashion.
Okay, Monet.
Oh, call the Uber.
Call the Uber, Kennedy. Kennedy, call the Uber. Oh
my god. Oh, I always forget about that one, and you mention it, and it sends me. Sends me.
Oh. The look on Peppermint's face the whole time. It's just the look on Peppermint's face every single time sends me into fits because she's like.
There was a meme.
Oh, yeah. No, not that.
did you see that article about RuPaul in Vanity Fair? Oh, the fracking?
No.
Oh. The synchronized, like the fact that they eventually synchronize into the pendulum together, like that's still my favorite part of that entire clip. Anywho. But yeah, so after the race wars, her second run on Survivor was probably my favorite. That was Micronesia, fans versus favorites won, like in the Black Widow Brigade, her and the one from China. God damn, why can't I think of her name right now? The doe-eyed Amanda. It was her, Amanda, Sari, and then one other, the Black Widow Brigade. Like, that was a great, like, that, I liked Parvati at that point. And then Heroes versus Villains, not a fan, because she aligned with Russell, and I could not stand it. And then, I mean, Winners at War was whatever, but not my favorite person, but I know she is reality TV, like, she is well-known and well-regarded. Sandra's still I'm Team Sandra when it comes to the team, Sandra versus Parvati. Queen stay queen. Queen stays queen. That's my, but those are my two favorites. And then you got CT and Bananas from the Challenge World and Trishelle. Fuck Trishelle. You have a bunch of Housewives cast, Phaedra, Cherie, Larissa. I think Michael Jordan's son was cast on it. I think he's married to one of the Housewives. MJ from Shaws of Sunset. Like, there's a bunch of people. Great casting this time around. And aside from, the only thing I will spoil is Peppermint gets is not the first person off the show. Someone gets murdered first before the banishment. I think it starts with a murder and then a banishment in the second episode. She was the first one banished. So if you were going and watching for Peppermint, you get two episodes and that's it, unfortunately. But this season actually has been really good. it always starts out chaotic as fuck, and nobody ever is on any track of figuring anything out. But they've actually gotten onto the trail of the traitors at this point, and I'm really curious to see how the rest of the show plays out. Because unlike Werewolf or Mafia or Secret Hitler, and I forget what I was reading an article that really kind of dove into the thing, or it might have been Peridium's YouTube channel was talking about it. You can't have this game end prematurely. You can't have in like the second or third or fourth episode eliminate the three traitors, because they have a series order that they've got to fill and X number of spots to have in the final, like at the end of it. So that's where like the reality, the unscripted, but script, like the story producers have to kind of come in and help shape what's going on. And they have to add twists and do things. Like if a traitor is eliminated, they will oftentimes allow them to try to recruit a faithful to their side and turn them to the dark side, essentially. So this season, I think, is leaps and bounds better. Ciri was amazing last season. Love Ciri. But I think overall, Traitor season two has been a really good season, and I'm excited to see how the rest of it plays out. And I've actually gotten Chris, my friend turned roommate, who originally was like, I don't want to watch the show. I made him watch like one or two episodes of season one, and he was like, I'm not into this. And now he still doesn't really like it, but he's excited to watch it when we watch it. It's kind of the weirdest thing. I've gotten him, he's not a reality competition person. And he's not so much into Survivor. So like if he's not in the room, like he won't come out to the living room to watch Survivor. But he liked Amazing Race. So I'd always make sure that I would wait to watch Amazing Race until we were both able to watch it at the same time. So now Traitors is the same way. Now it's like, okay, it's roomy Traitors watching time. Let's do this. BJ, Eric, have either of you watched Traitors or Traitors Season 2?
I have not. I didn't even know it was a thing until I was just strategically looking it up while you were talking about it. So I looked it up. So now at some point the algorithm's going to start tossing clips my way on either like my Instagram reels or TikTok. So probably going to wind up watching it either while I'm on TDY, because I'm getting dangerously close to catching up to all my Star Trek shows. So I'm like, I'll need something to watch. So that sounds like something to pick up.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of the iterations either. But a lot of like the queer podcasts I listen to, they talk about it, and just about all of gay Twitter talks about the Traitors all the time. So I'm trying to avoid as many spoilers in the hopes that eventually I'll sit down and watch it. I have heard that both UK and Australia are really good iterations of it. And I think Canada also did one, because I think Fearsalicious was on it.
Yes, I forgot that Canada just got its own, and Fearsalicious was part of the cast for theirs. A queen I'm not exactly a fan of, but I'd be interested to see how they did on that iteration of it. The funny part is that I don't know about Australia, but I think UK season one and America season one, from an outline standpoint, are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. It's like, welcome, here's this challenge, here's this challenge, here's this challenge, episode by episode. So it's kind of funny where it's like, all right, well, I guess, you know, it's just replacing the people. And this season we got a British politician, a former member of parliament, and it's like, do they not want you on the UK version? Like, why are you on the US version of the Traitors? I don't understand this. But I think you would enjoy it, Eric. BJ, like, you'll find entertainment in it for sure, but with so much Big Brother and Survivor representation, I think, Eric, you will associate with it more, because there are some really like key players. Dan and Janelle were on I forget where they're at this point. They're part of the cast for season two. Dr. Will just made an appearance. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that really, it's very heavily like Survivor and Big Brother, and then other, like the other stuff, you know, other shows get a sprinkling here and there. Like Ryan Lochte was on season one because he had, you know, a season of a show. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. And so I was kind of happy to see some challenge representation on this one, because they do have such a long history between Real World, Road Rules, and then the challenge itself. So there's a rich history for them to pull from, which is funny considering what I mentioned were all CBS and Paramount shows, and this is on Peacock. So it's kind of odd. But, you know, we may be
the same thing anyways.
I was going to say, we're in the market for Paracock. Yeah. But that's The Traitors season two, airing on Peacock. I know Canada and UK are on Peacock. I have to check and see if UK and Australia, I'm sorry, are definitely on Peacock. I haven't seen Canada on like the home screen, but I'll have to check that out and I can report back on that. But check it out. If you're watching, hit me up. Let me know. I would like to see what you think about the season of The Traitors and the cliffhanger that we were left on last week. Well, by the time this goes out, we'll find out what that cliffhanger ended up being. But there's lots going on, so I would love to hear what y'all have to say about The Traitors. Dear listeners, we appreciate you. We're so thankful that you're here. We've been doing this for a long time, and we wouldn't keep on doing this if it wasn't for you. So with that, we thank you, and we ask for one more thing. Go check out our website, flameonshow.com, and if you feel so inclined, why not head over to your favorite podcast player and leave us a review and a little rating, a little 5-star rating. Pretend we're your Uber drivers, and we've provided you with water and a phone charger, and we didn't talk to you during your Uber ride. Except we're talking to you for like an hour and a half at any given time. So, you know, just pretend like it was a quiet ride. Pretend. But give us a 5-star rating. Check out our website. We have our Threadless shop linked on our website as well. If you want some Flame On swag, you can cop yourself some cool shit there. And yeah, keep on doing what you're doing and listening to us here on Flame On. All right. Let's carry on. Eric. Bring us the third topic.
So I'm going to be talking about some shows on the streaming service I've been using the most lately, which is Dropout.
I need to get a subscription because someone hasn't shared theirs with me, but no.
I don't know who. That's rude of them. It's not very socialist of them.
But this password sharing commune is a little barren in the Dropout area.
It's the future the liberals want.
But Dropout, if anybody doesn't know, is an independent, ad-free comedy, mostly improv service. Run out of people in the LA area.
What was it before?
It was formerly College Humor.
There you go.
Yep.
Provided some great sketches, but I mean, very Mary Kate still fucking holds up to this day. Just saying. Yeah, and Elaine Carroll is the wife of the person who saved this platform and turned it into Dropout.
Yep, Sam Reich.
Yes.
I didn't know he was married to her.
Yes, yep. Yeah. The very handsome and dapper Sam Reich. I think he's adorable.
Cute. Yeah, he's great.
Eric's like, can I just talk about my topic, please? Y'all are just talking all over my shit. Sorry, Eric. I told you have to follow BJ's pattern and just keep talking. Yeah. And then I can't say shit.
You can't give him an in. You give him an in, it's all over.
So some of the shows on there that I keep up with, Dirty Laundry just ended their third season, which is a fun. It's kind of like a drinking game all around Never Have I Ever type kind of situations. And one that's new, has their first season going, is Very Important People. Hosted by Vic Michaelis, where they take a comedian and they give them a complete blind makeover. So the person doesn't know what they're being transformed into, sometimes even with prosthetics and everything. And so they're revealed to the comedian like 10 minutes before this improvised interview. So they have to come up with a character and get through kind of it. Sort of feels a little like Between Two Ferns, kind of that vibe to it.
Okay.
But that's a lot of fun. And Dimension 20, which is what do they call it?
Critical Role.
Yeah, a Critical Role-esque. It's there's a term they use for them now, but whatever. It's D&D, various D&D campaigns, and the one that's going on right now is Fantasy High Junior Year, so it's the third season of these characters. Adventuring party who's trying to get through high school. They're in their junior year now, and they're dealing with things like college prep and double majoring and running for student government, all while saving the world from various entities.
Isn't that the season with Baron from the Baronies? The little skeleton boy.
That's probably from sophomore year, which I didn't watch. I just watched a recap of it. But I think freshman year and I think sophomore year are both available on YouTube, because they put out a lot of their older seasons of Dimension 20 on YouTube to help people get caught up. And then we mentioned him earlier, Sam Raish. The new season of Game Changer just started this week, which it's kind of an improvised.
I love Game Changer.
Game show where the contestants don't know what game show they'll be playing until they get there and start playing it. And it's produced a lot of great clips on the internet, usually involving Brennan Lee Mulligan getting really mad. And the first episode is no exception to that.
Get in the comments.
Because Brennan is, he's always going to do his best to win the episode. And this episode was all about, you get points if you're second place.
Yeah, if you're middle of the road.
Exactly. It completely goes against everything Brennan stands for, which is always fantastic. And coming up later this month, I think the new season of Actually is going to be coming back with a new host. Nice. And Mike Trapp is stepping away.
I'm mad about that. If he is great, don't get me wrong, and I'm sure that he's going to do a great job as host.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm on Miss Trap. I haven't watched in forever because I don't have Dropout. So I watch whatever is free on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But I've watched, I think, almost all of the ones that are on YouTube. And Trap is just so good in that role. The trailer for, was it season 7 or 8?
Season 8.
Yeah. It's so cute. And it's very Doctor Who. Coded and not coded, it's Doctor Who takeoff. But if you Wadi Way will be great if he is always fun on the panel, so yes. this will be fantastic.
And there's going to be an episode with drag queens. There's an episode with Jujubee, Monet, and Your favorite Trinity.
I know. I was going to say, I feel like they had them there for X amount of time and shot as many episodes of as many different shows as possible, because they did Dungeons and Drag Queens as part of Dimension 20. I haven't seen it, but I've seen clips of them on Dirty Laundry, at least Juju, Alaska, and maybe Monet. I think the three of them on Dirty Laundry. And then I saw
the fourth one was on that, but yeah,
I don't remember
for sure, because it wasn't Bob.
No, I feel like Bob had Bob for one day and did all of Dimension 20, and then Jujubee, Alaska, and Monet had a couple of extra days. But then I saw Trinity as the third one. I was like, oh, yay!
But Dungeons and Drag Queens, they did announce that there will be a second season of Dungeons and Drag Queens, so. Yes, that's all everything I've been watching on Dropout. It's just great. It's just fun. There's never any commercials that you have to pay extra to avoid.
The $2.99 jab at Amazon Prime. Ooh. Eric's going to have Amazon, Jeff Bezos, who doesn't, he's going to be coming for you. No, that's great, Eric. I definitely want to get a subscription. I should have done it during the Thanksgiving Black Friday sale and gotten 20% off. I need to find an old episode of Sibling Rivalry where they talked about it and see if their code still works. No, that joke was not funny enough for you, Eric. Whatever. Eric said you were not.
It made it work. Who's to say?
Well, Dropout, check it out. Dropout.tv is the website, correct? I think.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken. Okay. That's Eric was correct. Let me type it in real quick. All right. Let us exit the loving embrace of our topics for the month and head on over to those delightful things that give us life. Let's do a round of one-ups, y'all. It is a new year, new one-ups, more fun things to mention. And if it's your first time listening to our show, these are little nuggets of upcoming things or maybe things that we've partaken in that that gave us life, but maybe we just don't have enough to talk about for a full topic. So we do these little short rounds of goodness for you at the end of our episodes. I'm going to throw it back over to BJ for your one up. What you got for us?
So a lot of things have dropped. We've gotten a couple of trailers. I know Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct today, but something that released today that I had no idea. I thought it was still on the rumor mill, but the Borderlands trailer dropped today based on the video game.
You mean the Guardians of the Galaxy 4 trailer?
And yes, 100%. Had I not played the games, I would 100% be like, oh, okay, so it's Guardians of the Galaxy, just like not Marvel. But I'm very interested to see what they do, how they craft the story and everything, because you've got Kevin Hart, Bobby Lee, Kate Blanchett is the main character, Ariana Greenblatt, you've got Jack Black plays Crap Claptrap, and then you've got Jamie Lee Curtis as one of the main cast as well. So I'm just like, oh, fresh off that Oscar win, she's just gonna go on to do whatever she can think of that's weird. So yeah, it's definitely hodgepodge of a lot of characters that normally some of them weren't introduced until the second game. But yeah, I'm very excited to see how this turns out, because it's a very weird, self-referential, self-aware sort of series. So I'm very interested to see how they do with the movie. But yeah, it looks really funny. Definitely give the trailer a watch. If you're a fan of the game series, definitely think about watching the trailer because it looks fun. But yeah, 100%. It about halfway through it, I'm like, this is a very nuanced song for this trailer, and it feels.
I could have even sworn that the song they used was the same as something they used in one of the Guardians trailers.
I think it's the same artist or the same band or whatever. Like, yeah, no, 100%. But at the same,
I don't remember.
I can't remember. It was.
I definitely didn't watch it while I was also on a Zoom meeting at work.
Never. You would never steal never time like that from your employer.
Ever.
I've never played this. I don't honestly know if I even knew about this game beforehand, but it has been all over fucking Twitter for the last couple of days. Even before the trailer dropped, I have seen so many references to it, and then the poster and the trailer, and it's all over.
Yeah, I think it was last night before
involved with it.
Yeah, it was Electric Light Orchestra.
Yellow,
the song Do You.
Yeah, so it's a different. I'm 90% sure they used an Electric Lights Orchestra song somewhere within the Guardians of the Galaxy like soundtracks and whatnot. I'm almost 100. I don't think they used that same song, but they 100% have used that band in one of either a trailer or it's on one of the soundtracks or something for one of the Guardians. But granted, Guardians of the Galaxy has had three movies, and at this point, three movies and a special. So at this point, like all classic movie, if you use anything that's kind of like a band from like the 80s or 70s in a trailer, it's gonna sound like a Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. Like it's just kind of how it is now. They have a monopoly on it.
It just very much surprised me that it didn't feel anything like an Eli Roth movie.
Yes.
Like it the way it was cut and edited, the trailer, it just felt exactly like something James Gunn would do.
Yeah. But also Borderlands is honestly very something James Gunn would do. Borderlands, every single game is very James Gunn. Honestly, it's just a matter of which level of James Gunn you're going to get. Are you going to get the Suicide Squad, or are you going to get Guardians of the Galaxy? And I think Borderlands is probably going to sandwich itself somewhere in the middle. But no, it looks fun. I mean, I love Kate Blanchett, and I love Jamie Lee Curtis. So, and I like Jack Black, but that's for perverted reasons, not, he is talented, but it's mostly for perverted reasons. So, so yeah, I'm excited. I'll end up seeing it. I mean, personally, I'm going to wind up probably going to see Madam Web because everybody says that I've seen so many videos of people walking out of the theater laughing so hard they're crying. I have to see it. I have to know.
Wait, do you hate yourself that much?
I mean, not as much as I did a year ago.
All right.
Oh, fake laughter to hide real tears.
So that's how we do it. That's how people in their 40s do it, BJ. Welcome. Welcome to the club. All right. So Borderlands trailer's out now. Let us know if you are excited for it. Eric, what you got for us in the one-up Departamento?
So I have a couple quick things before my one-up. They're like half one-ups. Miley Cyrus's performance at the Grammys of Flowers was fantastic, and I've watched it many times. I just won my first Grammy! Don't act like you don't know that song.
Me, every time also, I sing a random random song at karaoke. Don't act like you don't know this song. Is it obscure?
I can definitely see you doing that now, from now on.
Someone did it at karaoke after the Grammys performance. They did flowers, and they did like, I just won my first. I was like, oh, you beat me to it.
Also, something I'm excited about is on Mondays, Jon Stewart is back hosting The Daily Show through the election, which is great. Loved him on The Daily Show before. But my one-up is going to be Beyonce ruling the country world. She's like...
Beyonce, you know what?
She's ruling the country world.
Oh, sorry, I just wanted to do a RuPaul's Drag Race Brooklyn Heights reference. Beyonce, what?
Beyonce! Get some New York in here. I mean,
I was gonna say, okay, New York.
No, but at the end of her commercial during the Super Bowl, which was the most words I've heard Beyonce speak at once in a long fucking time. She said in the commercial she was going to break the internet, or at least Verizon's network, by dropping new music. And I thought it was just part of the commercial. I was like, oh, she's just saying that because she's surprise dropped stuff before. But no, she decided, oh, yeah, I am going to drop two songs on you. From Act Two. Hasn't given the full name of Act Two yet. Unless it's just... I don't think it's just Renaissance Act Two.
So it was Act One, colon, Renaissance. And now it's Act Two. So I'm sure with the album, probably with the album announcement, we'll get the title or like kind of designation of what Act Two is. That's my thought.
Yeah, yeah. Probably.
Which should be coming out soon because it's just over a month away. Right, March 24th. Yeah. But she dropped the first two singles from Act Two, which are Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. And everybody's going crazy about it. So many people were rushing to be the first reactors to do it. And I have a preference for Texas Hold'em myself. I like the more upbeat. 16 Carriages is more ballady. But yeah, people are trying to get country radio stations to play it. And I think it was Oklahoma. There was a news article about them saying, no, we don't play Beyonce. And there was such a public outlash. They're like, okay, now we play Beyonce. but she is the first black female to top the Billboard country music chart ever. And the highest previous before Beyonce was Linda Martell, who peaked at number 22 with Color Him Father in 1969, which is an artist and song I have never heard of before.
It's Tracy Martell's mother.
Wow.
That's the mama that's being referenced in Mama Don't Make Me Put on the Dress Again.
But I'm sure you two have heard both songs, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. What?
No, I haven't. I've heard bits. I've heard the part that's been the TikTok sound with the dance. I've heard that part of Texas Hold'em. Yeah. But I haven't. So, funny enough, I was hosting karaoke the night of the Super Bowl, because that's what I do on Sunday nights. And we were joking around because, you know, Taylor Swift did her concert in Tokyo and then time traveled backwards through time to make it back to the Super Bowl, because she landed in LA like before, like technically the end of her concert, like if you were just looking at the times. But you know, that's how powerful Taylor Swift is.
Time zones are weird.
Yeah, she's the Antichrist and a time traveler. Who fucking knew?
She's the devil. But,
so Chris and I were talking about it because, you know, we're at the bar. It was a little slower until the Super Bowl was over. And we're joking around because I've been waiting for her to announce Reputation, Taylor's version. Everybody was like, every Swiftie has been a fucking clown for the last like couple of months, thinking it's going to happen since November. And then like, oh, everything went black and white on her Instagram, all this, blah, blah, blah. And then at the Grammys, she announced a new album. And we're like, oh, I'm mad, but I'm not mad, but I'm mad, but I'm not mad. So we were joking around that Taylor would drop or would announce Taylor Reputation Taylor's version at the end of the Super Bowl. Like the lights would all go out in the arena, and then it would just be like Reputation Taylor's version. Like completely upstage Travis Kelce and the Kansas City Chiefs and their Super Bowl win, and make that her stage to announce the album.
Yeah, so, like at the end of the Super Bowl, like down on the field, he gets down on one knee and she goes, I'm going to let you finish, but first, Reputation Taylor's version.
Exactly. Like, just going to do this real quick. There's just snakes everywhere. It's fucking crazy. But then I got home from the bar that night, and do you know how I found out about Beyonce releasing new songs? Because Kesha tweeted something about like Beyonce, what the fuck, or something like that. And I was like, wait, what? And that's how I found out that Beyonce announced Act Two and released two songs.
I can't believe you were at a gay bar the whole night and nobody said a word.
Yeah,
right. I know. Just going through Twitter and then like just saying, and then
no clue, not a clue. Because I 100% agree with you. I thought somebody would have mentioned it, and they did not. And so I haven't gotten around to listen. I'm bad at listening to new music. Like most of the time, if I'm listening to stuff, I just put on comfort stuff I've already listened to, or I'm listening to podcasts. So getting new music into my ears is sometimes tough. So I still haven't listened to Renaissance. I'll just say it. Like that's horrible. And in Black History Month of all times to say that. I'm waiting for Act Three to come out. I'm just gonna binge all three. I'm waiting for it all to come out, and I'll listen to everything in one shot.
Pat's one ups next year in 2 years will be Beyonce Renaissance, Act One Renaissance, Act Two, Act Three.
But
I want to pull an Eric and come back around to it 2 years later and be like, so I listened to this great new thing. You might have heard of it. It's called Act One Renaissance. Here's what happened.
But I can't wait for her to go back to the CMAs and perform again and watch all those people who were hating on her and the chicks to be like, oh, she came back. Because I have watched that performance of Daddy's Lessons a lot. Because that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. This will be good. This will be good. Maybe there'll be some visuals. Probably not. But we'll see what happens.
She released visual videos. They're really bare bones, but they're there.
Like her outfit.
Yeah.
Or lack of outfit. Oh, good times. Act Two, Beyonce, 16 Carriages, and Texas Hold'em. I'm surprised you didn't. Two things. One, I'm surprised you didn't mention the fact that gay Twitter is going crazy, because in the like trailer, quote unquote trailer for Act Two, she's in a taxi that's reminiscent of the taxi that she and Gaga drove off in at the end of Telephone. So all of the faggots are like, finally, we're getting the end of the to be continued from Telephone.
Well, Gaga will just put it back on her pink Joanne hat, and it'll be a countrified Telephone.
Oh my god, could you imagine if she re-recorded Video Phone in a country version and put it on Act Two and did the video with Gaga?
God.
Because that was the... Okay, so Telephone took off. Video Phone did not take off. And I think that's why we never got a video for that to be continued. I think it's because Video Phone, the Beyonce featuring Lady Gaga song, did not go anywhere. But I'm also surprised, I'll say this, that you did not mention the Wicked trailer.
Yeah, there, it's out there.
All right.
I liked it. I'm just waiting to see more.
I'm excited for Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah. I'm excited for Bo and Yang.
I'm excited for Ariana Grande to do her annoying laugh. Her
I'm excited for Jonathan Bailey. I'm excited for Michelle Yao. I'm excited for Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It looks very pretty.
Although, it does. Although somebody on Twitter said, you know, it's very ballsy of a movie to split into two parts with a show that notoriously goes downhill very quickly or does not have a very strong act two, to put that as the second movie that's coming out. You know, not wrong.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if they pulled some more of the book elements for the second half of it.
Oh, yeah.
From what I've heard people say is that they've pulled a lot of book stuff and made it a little darker than what just the Broadway show is. I'm curious, though, if in the trailer they actually, because they shot both movies at the same time, I'm thinking there's footage in that trailer that's also from the second movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's weird because, like, Defying Gravity is obviously the end of Act 1, but Act 1 is, like, two-thirds of the movie, and Act 2 is only a third of the movie. So it feels weird to stop the movie there, but do you know how many faggots will revolt and burn shit down if we don't get Defying Gravity in the first movie? I'll tear this town apart. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how it is. I'm cautiously optimistic about it. But that's me. So okay. Beyonce, country, all hail, Beyonce. Beyonce, what? My one up. I will take a page of Eric's book this time and give you a quick little another March thing that's coming out that I'm super excited about. The Eras Tour, Taylor's version, the extended, like, full concert plus extra acoustic surprise songs, is coming to Disney Plus on March 15th, if I'm not mistaken on the date there. I will finally get to watch the concert at home. I did not pay for it and go see it in the theater. I did not rent it on any of the platforms it was streaming on. I've been waiting for this day where it will be on a free service that I already pay for. Technically, I don't pay for it because Verizon does, but I pay for my phone. So, hey, I guess I do. we're getting all of the songs, I believe, plus four extra acoustic songs from the two-song acoustic surprise set. So the extended, fully fleshed-out Taylor's version of the Eras Tour hits Disney Plus on March 15th. But 5 days later on Disney Plus, one of the things I have been waiting for longer than I even thought I was waiting for it, X-Men 97 is finally dropping. We got a Deadpool and Wolverine trailer on Super Bowl Sunday. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday, so what, 4 days later, X-Men 97 got their trailer. And oh my God, I am so excited. Professor X is dead. This picks up at the end of X-Men, the animated series. Everything is still canon from that show. All of our favorites are back. Morph is back in a lighter take in his non-binary status, which is destroying all the conservatives' minds.
But how did you know, he come back? Did he Morph come back at back. The end of...
Yeah. He was in a lot of it. Not a lot of it, but he came back like three times.
Okay, because I thought he died in like the first episode.
Episode 2.
Yeah, to the center.
They brought because he was it like Changeling in the comics. They apparently had to change his name for the animated series because of DC and a character and like rights with that. So they changed his name to Morph, but they wanted an obscure character that they could kill in the, because the first two episodes were back to back. They wanted someone that they could kill in episode 2 to like essentially put stakes into the show. So they had Morph as part of the team, but Morph gained like such a fan base off of those two episodes that they brought him back, and he was under Sinister's brainwashing, thinking that they left him behind for dead, and he was like a villain. Right. And then he came back and wasn't under Sinister's control anymore, but then had PTSD, so he went away to like get help. So I guess now he's had therapy. He called BetterHelp. He did some telehealth visits with a therapist. But yeah, he's back. And fucking conservative Twitter is going crazy. They're like, X-Men went woke. And it's like, oh, baby, you've never seen X-Men before, have you?
Right.
The allegory for civil rights movement, for other people, like those who are other people who are in the minority. Yeah, no. That's just been...
Morph just watched She-Ra and the Princess of Power and thought Double Trouble was a cool character and was like, I want to go for that.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But yeah, we see things like a hunky Cyclops in his basketball shirt. We see Gambit light up Wolverine's claws with his kinetic energy. We see Rogue's flat ass. They took away her ass. They said, no ass for you. My favorite has been the edit where they took is a still from X-Men, the animated series, where Apocalypse is standing in the background and Rogue is like laid out on the like leaning but laying on the ground, and like her ass cheeks are just there. They flipped it so Rogue is standing in the background and a caked up Apocalypse is laying on the ground, and like, oh, this is what we need. This is the future liberals want. But one of the big things that is included in there is a very pregnant Jean Grey. But
who's the father?
If you are what?
Who's the mother?
And it's a small butt because they took away all the juicy asses. If you know, one, the comics and the Inferno storyline, Cable's backstory at all, and the fact that we've already been spoiled on the fact that Madeline Pryor is going to be in this show, has a figure that's coming out, which, by the way, I want that figure. Cable, Nate is going to get born into this universe. So it's probably not Jean Grey that's pregnant. It's probably Madeline Pryor. And they don't know that it's Madeline Pryor. So they're probably going to fuck around with the origin of Madeline. But Madeline Pryor is going to be there. Cable's going to be there. At least Cable is a baby. Inferno looks like it'll be is a part of it. I think it's actually one of the titles of one of the episodes. I am so fucking excited. I am so immensely, like, when we say these are the things giving us life, this is legit giving me life. I am so fucking excited for this.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I had to just catch my breath. Oh, good times. Yes. I know. I don't want to talk about it more. I know we were going to talk about it once it comes out, but had to include that as a one-up. BJ, Eric, thank you for joining me. You out there listening, thank you for taking this journey with us. Let us know what you are enjoying right now. Let us know if you've seen any of the things that we've talked about, if they are giving you life, if you have any thoughts on them. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to do drag next time. I promise you that. I know I said it at the end of December, but schedules were not the best at that moment in time. We will do drag. We're going to cover a lot of drag. Season 16.
I'm going to have to buy some makeup then.
Yes. Get on it. Let's do this. We're going to go get into High Horde Drag and be We're not going to be a drag. We'll just be a queen. But we're going to talk season 16. We'll talk UK versus the world 2. We'll talk some UK 5. I don't think any of us have watched España All-Stars, so we may not do that. Sorry, Luke. But we'll talk drag next time. I started watching it and fell asleep. I just haven't gotten back to it. I do enjoy the España girls, so I will get to it, but probably not before we talk about it in our next episode. But until we meet next time, dear listeners, bye, bitch.
Bye.